is found in the 14th chapter of the book of Numbers. We left off speaking to you last week how that these spies came back and they gave an evil report of the land. And they put a lot of fear into the people because they had seen such great giants in the land. And seeing these giants, they feared that they would not be able to take the land. And then when the people heard this report, we find that they lifted up their voices and cried, and they wept all that night. These people then, when given to hear what sort of inhabitants there were there, they were afraid to go into the land. They were afraid that they would fall by the sword, and that their wives and their children would be a prey to these people that dwelt in the land. This report was received by these people in unbelief. It was nothing else but unbelief that caused them to speak this way. It was God that had led them, had fed them, and had proven to them that he was with them, had brought them even to the border of the land that he had promised to give them. And at the border of this land, they rebelled. They rebelled because they feared that they would die in the land. Therefore, the rest of the people gave ear to this report, and they likewise complained and murmured. They went unto Aaron and went unto Moses and Aaron and murmured against them. They said unto Moses and Aaron, "Would to God that we had died in the land of Egypt. Would to God that we had died in the wilderness." What an awful statement to make after having experienced so much of the mercies and the favor of God all their journey through. There were 600,000 fighting men, these Israelites, besides their wives and children. And now they sat on the border of the land. One step and they would have been in it, had they but exercised faith and believed, had they but looked back and seen how God was with them. God had promised them the land. God had brought them to this point. And now for fear of the people that were in the land, they didn't want to go. They started to complain. They saw that if they went there, they would die. Now they said, "Well, it had been better for us if we'd have died in Egypt. Better for us if we'd have died in the wilderness." In other words, it was not right of God to deliver us out of the land of Egypt. God wasn't doing anything good to them. He was only leading them to this place for the simple reason that he had in his mind that he was going to slay them all. What awful thoughts these people had of this good God in heaven above, who had done nothing else but good to them. They, more or less with this statement, made God a liar. They made him a hypocrite, as if he was not faithful, as if he did not love these people and would not fulfill his word. They would rather have died in the land of Egypt and died even in the wilderness. Oh, this what these people said oftentimes comes up in the hearts of the true people of God, even in this generation. For the people of God, when God leads them out of Egypt, as he led the Israelites, it's a wonderful time for them people. They can glorify God for what he has done. But when they come into the wilderness, and when they have no signs, no tokens, are in darkness, are being tempted by Satan to believe that it's not true, that the work that they have experienced wasn't of God, and they begin to see the people that are in the world, in the land of Egypt, they see that they're enjoying the pleasures of life, and they're having all sorts of good times, and these children of God, they can't participate in those things, but they have a flesh, they have a nature that would like to. And when they're tempted to think, well, maybe their religion is wrong, maybe when they come to the end, they're going to be cast away by God, not having such an assurance that it is God's work, they come to this point. They say, wouldn't it be better for us to go back into the world? What good is it if I have a profession of religion and I struggle against sin, against the world all my life, and I come to the end and I'm thrown away? Wouldn't it be better that I went back into Egypt, into the world? Have you ever been there, my hearers? Who puts these thoughts into your minds? Who brings it up into you? No one else but the devil. He would want you to turn away from God. He would want you to serve sin. He would want you to perish with him. I would give you a little advice. Listen not to those thoughts. Give not ear to them. Oh, if you have them in you, fall down before God and pray that he'll break the works of the devil in you, and that he'll give you that you may serve him and love him and fear him. These people in desperate unbelief wished that they had died where they had been fed by God, been given everything that they needed by God. They're standing up against God. Wherefore hath God brought us to this land? To fall by the sword, and our wives and our children become a prey unto them? Let us make a captain, they said, and let us go back into the land of Egypt. Oh, they wish to depart from God. To depart from God, my dear hearers, is death. Depart from him means eternal damnation. All these people, they would choose this, to turn away and go back into the land of Egypt. Now, this was extreme folly on the part of them. For if they would return back to the land of Egypt, do they think God would go with them? Do they think God would lead them with the cloud that he had been doing? Do they think God would feed them as he had been feeding them? Let it be as they thought, that if they went into this land of Canaan, that they would meet with opposition, and some of them would die. How many more would have died if they turned around and went back through the wilderness? They wouldn't have God with them. They wouldn't have the leadings of God. They wouldn't have any manna from heaven. Why, probably thousands and thousands of them would have died in the wilderness. Why not get their swords out and say, we'll go up into this land. God is with us. He's proven this. We've had so many miracles and so many wonders from him. They lacked his faith. All they saw was the dark side of the thing. And therefore, they decided to choose a captain to go back to the land of Egypt. In Nehemiah, they said, Nehemiah speaking about the history of these people, he says, and they chose a captain. They got that far, that they chose somebody that was going to lead them back. Who he was, it doesn't say. But this is what they wanted to do. Oh, what an awful thing, my hearers, for a professed people like they were, who had been with God through the wilderness and had experienced so much by his good hand, to turn away from him and go back. Oh, it may be a child of God listening to me that said, oh, how many times that hasn't come up in me that I better go back. Some have said, I'm glad that I never made a profession of religion. I'm glad I never talked to anybody about it. But oh, I've been tempted so many times to return, to serve sin, to serve the world, to serve the flesh. Oh, how strong this temptation can be when the devil comes into our hearts and points out to us what it would be if we were wrong. Oh, whether we would be wrong. Who could we serve better? To forsake God means eternal death. These people then, they were in a desperate condition, a desperate state. They were in a state of rebelliousness, dissatisfied, discontented with God and with his dealings with them. And he had never done anything to make them that way. It was not God's fault. They were to blame. It was their own misery, their own unbelief that caused them to talk this way. And now we find that there were with these 12 men that went up to spy the land, two good men, two men that had a different spirit. They were Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. And now these two men, they rent their clothes in the front of the multitude. They tore it to show their dissatisfaction with the people, the way that they were acting and the way that they were speaking. And we find that Caleb, he takes up the word to speak unto these people. He spake to them and said, "The land into which we went and which we spied is a good land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now if the Lord hath a desire towards us, he will bring us into this land and give us this land." This man, Caleb, he stood up for God. And he said unto them, "Only rebel not against the Lord." This is what he spoke to all these Israelites that were ready to depart and to go back to Egypt. Oh, you would think that they would have listened to these two men, but no, they wouldn't listen to them either. But they were very good words that this Caleb spake unto them. It was as Caleb said, it was as God had said. He had promised them a land that flowed with milk and honey. He was not lying to them, and he had seen it. And he spake unto them concerning the people that were in the land. He says, "Their defenses departed from them, and the Lord has left them, but the Lord is with us," he says. "Let us go up into the land, for we can easily take it." But no, this message that he brought to them was received in unbelief too. They wouldn't receive the good words that Caleb spake. Caleb said, "If the Lord have a desire towards us." He put an if the Lord have a desire towards us. Could the Lord have a desire towards them the way they were acting? This is why he put that if there. It was entirely contrary to God and to what he had done for them, the way that they were speaking and dealing at the present time. "If the Lord have a desire towards us, he will bring us into this land." Oh, my dear hearers, if God has a desire to bring you into that great and glorious land of Canaan, heaven above, you may be sure that he will fulfill his desire, and he will put such desires in your soul towards that land that you will be busy all the time praying that he may take you and bring you there to live there forever and ever. What a wonderful blessing, my hearers, the people of God have received in this life, that God has a desire towards them. It wasn't of them. Surely not one of them would say it was because of this or because of that, but it's grace if God has a desire towards us. Oh, grace is so sweet. Grace is so wonderful when it's manifested to a poor, wretched, miserable sinner. Oh, I think there probably are some amongst my hearers that say inside, "What a wonder that God ever had a desire towards such a sinner like me." Oh, it's only because he planned from eternity to love you and to take you home to be with him. Caleb said, "If the Lord have a desire towards us, he will bring us into this land." May the Lord have a desire towards every one of you, that you may not desire the world and the pleasures thereof and the sins that are in it, but that you may desire God and live for him, cleave to him and walk with him, that he may be your friend and your companion. This Caleb, he was a witness for God. He testified for God. But the people, they were angry. They were so stubborn and so murmuring, they took up stones and they were going to stone this man, Caleb, and Joshua. How awful, my hearers. They were pleading for the people's salvation. They were pleading that the people would not do the things they were doing should God become angry and destroy them. But they would not listen. They took up stones and were going to stone them. But immediately the glory of God in the cloud came down and descended at the door of the tabernacle. And when this appeared, it put fright, it terrified these people when they saw that God descended in this cloud in majesty and glory. Those that were rebelling were trembling already because of the presence of God. God was taking care of his two servants, Caleb and Joshua. They were ready to be stoned, but God, they were the apple of his eye, and he wouldn't permit them to be stoned by these rebels. Oh, what a mercy to have God on your side, my hearers. If God be for you, who could be against you? All these two men, they found that God was their friend, that these people couldn't throw any stones at them unless God permitted it. And God came down, and it appears as if Moses, by seeing the cloud come down, went to God to meet him there. And when Moses came there, then God began to speak unto him. Moses and Aaron, they both had fallen down before the people because they couldn't get their voice to be heard in the clamor and all the noise that they were making. The scripture says they both fell on their faces before the assembly. They fell there to pray to God that he would quiet this tumult that had risen concerning this. They prayed that God would not be angry with the people. They were interceding for them people. Even though the people themselves had murmured against them, they showed their faithfulness, their love towards the people. And now Moses, he's called to the tabernacle. And when Moses comes, God begins to speak unto him and says unto him, how long shall this people refuse to listen to me? How long will it be after all the signs that I have shown unto them that they will believe me? I will smite them with the pestilence, and I will disinherit them, and I will make of thee a great nation, mightier than they, Sister Moses. Oh, this God, he was angry. He was provoked by their unbelief, by their rebelliousness. There isn't a sin, my dear hearers, that makes God more provoked than unbelief, especially after receiving so many signs, so many tokens of his presence, of his mercy, of the blessings that he had given unto them. Here he speaks unto Moses concerning these people. How long would it be that they would believe in him? This was the root of it, unbelief. Oh, how sad it was with these people. And they had now provoked God to anger. God, speaking unto Moses, said unto him that he would smite them with the pestilence. A pestilence would be a serious disease, a disease probably of consumption, of inflammation, and of burning, which would consume them. Oh, we should fear this great God. He has everything in his hands, and if he wishes, he could consume every one of us in a moment. Oh, he was going to bring a pestilence upon them and disinherit them. They were his people. He had shown that. He had delivered them out of Egypt. He had been with them. They were his choice. But now, they're provoking him, made him speak to Moses that he would disinherit them. He wouldn't have anything more to do with them. All the promises and everything that he had said was of naught now. He would withdraw himself from them. They would become reprobates, castaways. And then he said to Moses that he would make of him a great nation, mightier than they. He had done this once before, God. When they had built this here golden calf, then God was provoked. And God spake unto Moses that he would destroy them all, and that he would make of Moses a nation greater than they. But Moses, he had pleaded with God at that time that he would remember that they were his people, and that he had promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to give these people this land. And oh, if he disinherited them, if he didn't do what he had promised to do, what would the nations think of him? Everyone would be talking against his name, against his honor. Moses pleaded at that time for the people, and God pardoned the sins of these people. And now Moses, when he heard this, he didn't go up in pride. He didn't say, well, make of my seed then a great nation. Oh, no. Moses had the heart of this people in his heart. And Moses, he prays to God for these people. He reminds God of what he had said and how he had dealt with these people and how that he had so many times turned his wrath away from them and how that God had said that he was long-suffering, forgiving iniquity and transgression. Oh, dear Lord, he says, won't you please forgive these people? Pardon their sins, as thou hast done ever since thou hast brought them out of the land of Egypt. And God said, I have pardoned according to thy word. O Moses, the intercessor of these people, oh, what a blessing he was to these people. He is a type of our Lord Jesus Christ, an eminent type of him. And his interceding was heard by God, and God pardoned the people for the sin that they had committed in this way. This teaches us also, my hearers, that if we have been given by the grace of God the spirit of prayer, how necessary to pray for each other. And we see Moses pleading with God, and he's heard, he's answered. Oh, to plead for those that we know that are in sickness and trouble and misery, that are in a state of sin and going on in the world. Oh, to plead that God would in mercy pardon such poor sinners and not let them go on in their own way. Moses, a type of Christ, every one of God's children a type likewise of Moses. And Moses, he found access, his prayer was answered, his prayer was heard, and God said, I have pardoned according to thy word. Oh, what a sweet word that is, pardon, my hearers. Oh, when we study the history of these people, we find our character, our nature revealed to us in these people. We aren't any better than any one of them. And all, what a wonder that this God has not destroyed you and I. How often we rebel against him. How often we have been blessed, been spared, been raised up into life when it looked like we were going to die. And where is our gratitude to him? Oh, we are rebellious creatures, dissatisfied with his leadings and not satisfied even in the way that he leads us in providence. These people wanted to go back into Egypt. Would it have been any better there? Had not God manifested his wrath and his anger towards the Egyptians because of these people? And had they ever gone back and come there, would the Egyptians receive him? Oh, how terrible it would have been for them people back in Egypt. And now we have these people likewise. They are in this particular state that God has pardoned them, but God does this with reserve. God would visit these people for their sins. For God said unto Moses that all the world would know the glory of God. Surely wherever this is read in this world, in this book, wherever this is read about these people, the glory of God shines forth, that he was a pardoning God, that he forgave these people in all their rebelliousness and in all what they did. Who is a God like unto our God that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgressions of the remnant of his heritage? Oh, we would exalt this great God, and we would beg you and entreat you to seek pardon by him who is willing and able to save every one of us. This God, then, he pardoned their sins, but he intended to visit them for what they had done. And he spake so unto Moses. He likewise told Moses that he would visit them and bring upon them the judgment that they deserved. For these people, they had said, would to God that we had died in the land of Egypt or in the wilderness. God said, amen to it. You wanted that? You'll have it. He spake unto Moses and said that all those that were above 20 years of age, all under it, would see the land that he had promised to give unto them. But those that were over 20 years of age, every one of them who would die in the wilderness, their carcasses would fall into wilderness. For every day that they had went into this land and searched it out, 40 days, one day for 1 year, 40 years, they would wander in the wilderness. Here they were, right a foot away from the country where they were supposed to go to. And in their rebelliousness, they were given to turn back. 40 years, my hearers, because of unbelief, because of rebelliousness, they had to wander in the wilderness. This was the judgment that God brought down upon them. And they would never see the land. Only their seed would see the land. And we find that those 10 men that had come up with such an evil report of the land and had influenced the people to believe this evil report, that these 10 men, they died of the plague before the Lord. Oh, how righteous, how just is God, visiting iniquity and sin and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty. These men, they found they had to do with a just God. Oh, these poor men, they lost their immortal souls. But there was two, only Caleb and Joshua. They were spared of those 12 men. They had followed the Lord fully. They had done what God had called them to do. And they had come out for his honor and for his glory. And they would be given to see the land. They would be spared those 40 years that were ahead of them. They likewise would have to go through the wilderness with these people, but they would live and see the land. Everyone else would die. What a horrible judgment, my hearers. It teaches us likewise, because of our unbelief, because of our rebelliousness, because of being discontent and going against God, therefore, we likewise will die and sink into that awful fire of hell. Oh, how awful is the eternity awaiting every one of us who go on in our sins, who will not give heed to the word of God, and who, like the Israelites, rebel and want your own way and your own will. Oh, the Lord is a merciful God, but he is also a just God, a righteous God, a holy God. And every one of God's children would say, just and righteous would he be if he did cut me off. But he has, in mercy, drawn them out of this world. They are his. They are the apple of his eye. And he will bring them into that promised land. These people then would suffer the consequences of their sins, and they would all perish in the wilderness. Oh, what a terrible thing this must have been to these people to hear this. Oh, they began to say to Moses, "We have sinned," when they seen them 10 men die. And when they heard the message that God gave Moses to speak to them, oh, then they came to, we would say, repentance. Then they said, "We will go up into the land as the Lord has spoken and has promised to give us." And Moses says, "Don't you dare go up," he says, "because the Lord is not with you." But they still presumed to go up. And they went up the hill to fight and go into the land of Canaan. But the Amalekites and the Canaanites came down the hill and smote them unto Hormah. They suffered a great defeat. The Lord was not with them. He justly let these enemies prevail over them. And then he commanded Moses to turn away from this place and to go back to the Red Sea. To the Red Sea. That was where they had come across. They would have to go all the way back through that awful wilderness that they had come through and go to the Red Sea. Oh, what a terrible thing this must have been for these people. This was the judgment of God. They then would have to suffer. And they have to go through a wilderness. Oh, God was still with them. God did not withdraw his presence from them. God did not take away the cloud in the daytime or the pillar of fire by night. Oh, he was a merciful God to these people, although they, in unbelief, could not accept his testimony, his promises given unto them. Oh, how awful it was for these people. And we find that after this, there arose another rebellion. That's all we read of in the scripture of these people. They were a rebellious and a discontented people. They likewise became angry with Aaron and with Moses. There was a great company of the Levites that stood up against them, that wanted to be priests and believed that God was with them, not only with Aaron and with Moses, but God had chosen them for the office of administering in the tabernacle, but he had not chosen them to be a high priest. And they stood up against Moses and Aaron, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Another rebellious multitude standing up against the leaders that they had. Oh, Moses, he contended with them and spake unto them, but they would not listen to Moses either. And Moses proved unto them that Aaron had not taken his office of himself, but that God had placed him there, and that they had no right to stand up against him. And now he called them to a decision whether they would come the next day with their censers and bring incense with them and minister before the Lord. And we'll let the Lord judge, he says, who is to be high priest or who is not to be the high priest. He commanded them then to bring their censers and to come to the tabernacle and offer up incense. And God would show whose incense was acceptable unto him. There was a man that would not come. He refused to come. He gave Moses an argument. "Who are you?" he says. "Tell me, I gotta come," he says. He refused to come. But God came the next day. God visited these rebellious creatures, which we will speak about the next Lord's Day, the Lord willing. That's all for today.